First off, it's great to be with all of you. And we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark. I'm actually recording this, and I'll tell you a little more about what's going on with that. I'm excited to talk about the Gospel of Mark because the Gospel of Mark is my favorite gospel of all the gospels. So very excited about that. And also, I'm excited to be with all of you and to share some of the things that I've learned in my own research and study on the Gospel of Mark. So I'm excited to be able to share with you some of the things that I have learned. I wanted to begin with a prayer tonight. And I know that there are a number of us that have weary hearts. I know that all of us are aware of what's going on in our nation. And we're aware of what's going on in Louisville. And I especially want to say to the sisters that my prayers are with you. I know many of you are very heavy-hearted. I know especially for the women of color and our sisters of color that has transpired, that many of you feel different things about it, but I'm sure that one of the feelings is a feeling of sadness. I've heard that expressed. I've talked to people about that. And a feeling, the sense of hopelessness, a feeling of a sense of, will things change? Will they ever change? These kind of feelings. And so I wanted to pray for Breonna Taylor's family. I wanted to pray for the city of Louisville. I wanted to pray for all of us in this fellowship and all of our sisters especially. I know just having done a good amount of work on justice and biblical justice, I know that one of the things that comes up when you look at justice is the treatment of women. And a treatment of women of color, even more so, treatment of people of color. And in this country, there's been a really gruesome history to go along with that. One of the things about getting into the Gospel of Mark is we get to see how Jesus treats people, but also how Jesus treats women. And the way that Jesus treated women, so different than what you see going on in the world. Jesus treated women with respect. He treated women with honor. And in fact, when you look at the Gospel of Mark, there are the major characters that people think about are Peter and Andrew and James and John and some of these male figures. But they don't come off looking nearly as well in the Gospel of Mark as the women do. Because it is the women who actually see Jesus with faith and respond to him in faith. That's true not just of the women, but it's true of many of the, what would be considered not the major characters. They're mentioned maybe one time appearance characters in the Gospel of Mark. And so we'll be taking a look at that. And even though this isn't a study of justice in the Bible, I will do, at every chance that I have, I will talk about justice because that's what I tend to do. And also, I believe that it's all over the Bible, and so you can't really read the Bible without reading about justice. The concept of mishpat, or justice, in the Bible is found over 1,000 times. The word itself, 200 times in the Hebrew Bible. But the concept, Old and New Testament, over 1,000 times. That means that about every third page, you're going to run into the concept of justice in the Bible. It's just impossible to miss it. When you're reading the Bible and reading it carefully. I think sometimes we don't see it because we're focused on other things, but it's there all over the place. And so I'll bring it up. I'll bring it up in this first chapter, and I'll bring it up whenever I see Jesus treating people with justice, and we'll see it all over the Gospel of Mark. And so it is it's a major theme in the Bible. It's not a minor theme. It's a major theme in the Bible and deserves to be talked about. So let's start with a prayer. Dear Father, I want to come to you right now, knowing that you are the great healer and that you are a Father who loves us with total compassion and total love. And Father, I know that there are many people that are hurting, specifically in the city of Louisville, and I pray that you will heal that city, and I pray that you will heal the people there. But also within our fellowship, Father, I know that there are many people that are hurting, people of color, women of color, There's just been so much mistreatment through the generations. And Father, we want to come to you knowing that you can heal our wounds, also knowing that we can find comfort in you, and also knowing that although the world gives us very little hope, we do find hope in Jesus, and we find hope in you. And we're grateful that we can turn to you in times like this. And I pray for this study in the Gospel of Mark, that you will bless it. I pray that you will help us to draw closer to Jesus so that we can be his light to the world around us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's dive into the Gospel of Mark. We're going to divide this into four sections. And Mark divides nicely that way because you have sections, basically 16 chapters. And so we're going to do four chapters at a time. And so this will be 1 through 4 tonight. And the first half of the book divides nicely also because it's talking about who Jesus is. And then when you turn into chapter 9 and following, it's more about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And so the book does break down naturally into four different parts like that, not totally organic, but pretty organic in that way. The theme of the Gospel of Mark really is the theme of discipleship and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I'll just give it away at the beginning. The theme that you'll see played out throughout the Gospel of Mark is it's impossible to be a disciple without a cross. That's the basic theme of Mark. Discipleship comes with suffering. Discipleship comes with hardship. And it's impossible to truly be a disciple. It's even impossible to understand Jesus without the concept of the cross. And that is what Mark is portraying in his gospel. To understand Jesus, you have to embrace the cross. What I want to do tonight is I'm going to look primarily at chapter 1, but then what I want to do over the next few weeks is I'm going to record a message a week for the next 3 weeks. And so I'll do chapter 2, 3, and 4, and I'll make that available on my Vimeo site. And I'll also make that available hopefully on the New York City Church of Christ web, Facebook and other media pages. They'll put it on. Haven't asked them to yet, but hopefully they'll be willing to do that. And so what I want us to do is we're going to look at the beginning tonight, but over the next 16 weeks or the next 4 months together, we'll work through the whole Gospel of Mark together if you want to. All right. What we'll do at this time is we'll do basically a chapter, and this will be chapters 1 through 4. I'll introduce that, and I'll talk about chapter 1. Next time we come together in October, we'll do 5 through 8. So you can be familiar with that. Another one in November, another one in December. But between now and the end of the year, we can work through the Gospel of Mark together. And I look forward to that. I did want to say that it is important, more than listening to what I'm saying, it's important that you read the Gospel. Because it's reading the gospel that really gets into your heart. And so I just want to encourage you to be readers. I want to encourage you to get into the Gospel of Mark itself. It is the shortest of the gospels, only 16 chapters. It is, I believe, the first gospel that was written, and Mark was a literary genius in the way that he wrote it. I'll talk about that at different times. And it's also, in some ways, the easiest to understand, because it's talking about the narrative of Jesus. You don't have as many sermons and saying chapters, like the Sermon on the Mount, for example, that's in Matthew, but it's not in Mark. Sermon on the Plains in Luke, but it's not in Mark. But you're really following Jesus and following him in his ministry. And so hopefully by doing that, as you read it, you'll just fall deeper in love with Jesus and see how fantastic and awesome Jesus is, which really is the point of Mark. That's what Mark is trying to get us to see. So let's begin, and we'll focus on the first chapter and lead into chapters 2, 3, and 4 tonight. It begins with the word, actually in the Greek, the first word is arche. That means beginning. And that's a good place to start. Mark actually literally starts with the word beginning. I think he goes back to Genesis 1 by doing that in the beginning. This is the beginning of the gospel or the good news. Now, if you follow along, you're going to have a hard time following my translation, because it is literally my translation. Okay, I've just translated right from the Greek, but try to follow along with whatever Bible that you're reading. So it begins with arche, the beginning of euangelion, the gospel, the good news of Christos Iesus, of Christ Jesus. That means he's the messianic king. That's what Christ Jesus means. Jesus, the king. But then he says, the Son of God. And that's a really important phrase right there. The Son of the God. The point of Mark at the beginning of this is he wants to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And he's going to do it in a lot of different ways. He's going to do it through teachings, the teachings of Jesus. He's going to do it through the miracles of Jesus and show how outstanding Jesus was in his miracles. He's going to do it through conflicts and the different conflicts that Jesus has with people, where Jesus always comes away looking better than whoever started the conflict. And so in these first four chapters, he'll have conflicts with religious leaders, but he'll also have a conflict with his family, which is interesting. But Jesus shows that he's the Son of God, even in the conflicts that he has. So that is a major theme. You can underline that, you can circle that, you can look for that throughout Mark's gospel. He's going to be showing us that Jesus is the Son of God. As it was written in Isaiah the prophet, that's the only time Mark does a saying like that, an Old Testament quote like that. He quotes from the Old Testament. That's more like what Matthew does all the time, but Mark only does it here at the very beginning. Look, I send you my messenger before you. He will prepare your way, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. And of course, we know that that's referring not to Jesus, but to John the Immerser, or John the Baptist. I like to call him the Immerser because that's what he was really doing, dunking people in water. He appeared in the desert preaching an immersion of repentance, and I translate repentance as a change of heart that leads to a change of life. I think that's what repentance is. But then specifically for the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes it's misunderstood as if John's baptism was just a baptism of repentance, but in Mark, it's very specific that it's a baptism of repentance for forgiveness, for the forgiveness of sins, looking forward to the cross and what Jesus is going to do in his death on the cross. All of the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem went out to him, and he immersed them in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John was dressed in a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Does anyone know who that is supposed to remind us of? The way that he dresses, where he lives, what he eats is a reminder of the great prophet Elijah. And Elijah was going to be the one that would bring announce Elisha coming into the world. And Jesus is the great prophet that John's going to announce coming into the world. He preached as a herald of the king, saying, coming after me is one greater than I. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the straps of his sandals. I immerse you in water. He will immerse you in the Holy Spirit. So here at the very beginning, we have a mention of the Holy Spirit, who will be prominent throughout the Gospel of Mark. John says, I'm not willing to stoop down and untie the very sandals of Jesus. It's interesting.